From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Just as Americans are gearing up for the 2020 Academy Awards, the annual Hollywood Diversity Report was released. And as in previous years, the news, especially where film directing and writing is concerned, is not good. Hollywood, the heart of film and television storytelling in America and the English-speaking world, continues to be dominated by white men in spite of growing diversity among the population. Where lead actors are concerned, some improvement was noted, but people of color and women are still underrepresented compared to white men. My guest is Dr. Darnell Hunt. He's the Dean of the Division of Social Sciences at UCLA and Professor of Sociology and African American Studies at UCLA. He's the author with Dr. Ana Cristina Ramon of the 2020 Hollywood Diversity Report entitled A Tale of Two Hollywoods. Welcome to the program, Professor Hunt.
Hi, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. So I know that you time your report to this sort of report, especially to come out during the Academy Awards. However, the report looks at previous years, the most recent years, and I understand this one focuses on films from 2018 and 2019, right?
That is correct.
So how, first of all, what are the trends, rather, from previous years? Because what you're examining is things like who lead actors are, directors, writers, how they're diverse by race and gender. Overall, would you give Hollywood any good marks?
Yeah, well, you know, there actually was, surprisingly, good news for the 2020 Hollywood Diversity Report. Since we did the last report, which ended, it was the 2019 report, but it looked at film through 2017, we actually found a big jump in the inclusion of women and people of color in front of the camera, among leads and among the top eight credited actors. In fact, and this is rather remarkable given the stubborn inertia within the film sector in terms of inclusion. Women and people of color are actually within striking distance of proportionate representation for the first time. And of course, just to kind of put that in perspective, people of color are a little bit more than 40% of the population now, and women a little bit more than half, you know, 50.5% or something like that. And what we found among leads is that, let me make sure I get these numbers right, people of color accounted for 27.6% of the leads in 2019, and women accounted for 44.1% of the leads in 2019. And then among the top eight actors, people of color were 32.7% of the top eight actors, and women about 40.2%. So all of those figures are remarkable jumps over what we saw in the last Hollywood Diversity Report. So 2018, 2019, something seemed to change in front of the camera. Now, behind the camera is a whole different story.
Well, just on this issue of women as the leads, you said 44%. I don't remember seeing those films. You know, are those the big blockbusters? Do we know, sort of parsing through? You looked at hundreds of films and broke them down, but I don't remember that many female leads.
Well, you know, so let me say a little bit about our methodology here. So what we do every year, we've been doing this since 2014. This is our seventh annual report. We take the top 200 films ranked by global box office, and then we subtract out the foreign language films, and that gives us the films we look at any given year. So I believe we looked at 139 films from 2018, 146 from 2019. And you know, when you start getting down to the 200th film, you know, they can be small boutique films. That's why you may not remember some of those. True, if you look at the top 10 films ranked by global box office, which is in our sample, those you don't tend to see women represented as much, nor do you see people of color represented as much among the leads. But certainly when you start getting into the 50s, 60s, and 120th ranked film, that's where you see more of the diversity. We haven't actually done an analysis by rank, say the top 20 versus the top 30, top 40, and representation there. And that'd be an interesting analysis, actually. But we take all of the top films as an aggregate, and that's where we come up with that figure that I share with you.
Now, that time period, 2018 to 2019, included such films as Black Panther, right? So I imagine that boosted some of your numbers?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just one film. But yeah, I think the I mean, something is clearly happening. And what I mean here is that we also look at overall cast diversity. We divide films into categories of diversity. So films that are less than 11% people of color, films that are 11 to 20%, 21 to 30, 31 to 40, 41 to 50, and over 50, which would be majority minority cast. And we count how many films fall into each bucket. And back when we started this in 2014, we looked at 2011 films. That was the first season we looked at. And in 2011, more than half of all films, more than half of all of the top 200 films ranked by Global Box Office had cast that were less than 11% minority. In other words, Hollywood was predominantly making films that weren't diverse at all. And fast forward to 2019, that trend is completely reversed. In fact, if we look at the various categories of representation, the bars are pretty even from less than 11% all the way to majority minority. And so the majority minority films, that share has increased markedly. And for films that were less than 11% minority, I think they only accounted for about 15% of all the films in 2019 compared to over half in 2011. So something is definitely shifting. And the way we talk about this is that Hollywood has finally gotten the memo that diversity sells. When you have a population that's more than 40% people of color, you know, a little bit more than half women, and we know that people of color over-index in terms of ticket buying, particularly Latinos who are overrepresented among frequent moviegoers, the industry is realizing that increasingly people of color are driving the box office, and that's why they're putting them on the screen. What we're not seeing is sort of a comparable increase in inclusion behind the camera.
And I want to get to that, but let's talk about Latinos, especially in terms of the leads. By racial breakdown, how well or not are Latinos represented specifically as its own demographic?
So, you know, we look at people of color as an aggregate because we want to compare the degree to which Hollywood's focus on white and, you know, whites and white culture is shifting. And so most of the movement we've seen, we talk about in terms of people of color as a whole. But when we start breaking it down into specific racial and ethnic groups, we see some huge differences in terms of how groups are faring. So African-Americans across the board, and this has been the case for decades, when it comes to people of color, to the extent that they're included, it tends to be African-Americans that you see more than any other group. Latinos, currently the largest, you know, racial ethnic minority in America, in many areas are the most underrepresented. So even though we've seen increases for people of color as a whole, and you've seen some increases in certain places for Latinos, it's not nearly where it should be for Latinos, given the fact that, you know, they're close to 20% of the population now. So there's a lot of work to be done at the individual minority group level in terms of making sure that different groups have their fair share of the representation. Because after all, what we're doing in Hollywood is telling America's story. And if you're leaving groups out altogether, that's highly problematic.
And of course, the report doesn't examine the kinds of roles that are available, because that's been one main complaint by people of color, that even when there might be roles for them, they might fall into racist stereotypes. So let's talk about the people behind the camera who are the ones who do that kind of decision making. We're talking about directors and writers, both categories of which your report examines. So where do directors lie in terms of diversity, gender, and race?
So, you know, when we started the study back in 2014, the single worst statistic in the entire study was women directors. It was as if the white men who control the industry just were completely opposed to entrusting, you know, I don't know, $100 million budget or even larger to a woman. So you saw, you know, young white men who had, you know, spotty track records or hadn't really done a lot, given an opportunity to direct a film, and it rarely happened to women. So the share of women back in 2011 was somewhere around 5%. And you'd have to multiply that by 10 for women to reach parity with men. Fast forward to 2019, that figure has roughly tripled. So women now are about 15% of directors. I mean, that's not great, obviously, but it's certainly an improvement over where things were. Meanwhile, for people of color, it's kind of remained in that 12 to 15% range since 2011 and hasn't changed a lot. I mean, we've had a few years where we had a bump up, like the year of 12 Years a Slave, and I believe, the year that Black Panther came out, we saw a little bump, but we're back down to 13-14% right now. So you've seen almost no change at all. Meanwhile, among writers, and writing is where it all starts. That's where we come up with the premise for a movie. That's where the characters are developed. That's where the stories are told. And that's what audiences are asked to engage with. And here you found very little involvement by women as credited writers for screenplays and people of color. Not nearly what it should be. Again, I believe for people of color, it was like 13.9% of credited writers in 2019, and women 17.4%. So those figures are, speak to vast underrepresentation for women and people of color. Now, the other statistic we look at in this report, which is something we haven't looked at since 2015, is the executive suites. And that's significant because, of course, the people who occupy the executive suites are the ones who are making the green lighting decisions about what gets made.
You're talking about the sort of producers.
Well, no, I'm talking about literally people who are higher in the food chain. I'm talking about the chairman of the studios, the CEO of the studios, the senior executives, the management group, and the unit heads, the people who had casting, who had marketing, legal, and all of those different functional areas within the studio. I mean, those people collectively are the ones who make decisions about what the studios are going to make. So we looked at the 11 top major studios and mid-majors, and what we found was very little change from 2015 when we looked at this the last time. Basically, it's a white male domain. Among chairs and CEOs, it was 91% white, 82% male. Among the senior management group, it was 93% white, 80% male. And if you go down to the unit heads, casting, marketing, et cetera, 86% white, a little bit more diverse in terms of gender, 59% male. So again, until people of color and women break into these hallowed spaces in a more fulsome way, it's unlikely that we're going to see the major shifts behind the camera that have to happen if Hollywood is really going to tell America's stories.
So the representation in front of the camera has improved, but those who are telling the stories that are being acted out and directed, and who are directing the stories and who are making all the decisions about casting, that remains woefully behind the times. And that's, of course, where often the real power lies, right? So if that's the case, what is needed for change in this industry? Is it that there's not enough women or people of color graduating from schools in these industries, or they're graduating and just not getting hired?
No, I mean you hit on it in the very first sentence of your question. It's about power. I mean, pure and simple. We're talking about an industry that's been dominated by white men. It's a very lucrative industry. You can make lots and lots of money.
Right.
Women are very well compensated. It's a great gig to have. The problem is the people who run the studios are increasingly out of step with their market. And as we know, I mean, I mentioned earlier, we're about 40% people of color. Well, guess what? We're becoming more diverse each year by about 0.5%, to the point where we're going to be majority minority in a couple of decades. Hollywood is just not structured to deal with that reality. You can't have a bunch of white men making decisions about what stories are going to be told through film vehicles when the audience is essentially demanding. And we have lots of other data in the report that talks about preferences, like, what white audiences want versus Asian audiences versus African-American, Latino, et cetera. And the reality of it is people want to see themselves reflected on the screen. They want to see stories that resonate with their own experiences. And white men may not be best situated to tell those stories or to tell them in plausible ways or in respectful ways or in humanizing ways. And so what it means is that the studios, the C-suites, in an ideal world, given the reality we face right now, the demographic reality we face, they would open up the doors and invite more women and people of color in. But to do that means they have to give up some of their power. They have to share power. And they have to acknowledge that we're not experts on everything. We do what we do well, but maybe we can't tell stories as well about people of color in the 40%+ of America that they are becoming. And that evidently is a very scary thing for them. They've been very reluctant to do it. And in that respect, they are somewhat at odds with the interests of the organizations they work for, because obviously the studios are in business to make money, to maximize shareholder value. And you would think that they would be producing more products with more people behind the camera who look like and can anticipate what the audiences are seeking. But that just has not been the case. So we actually released a sister or a companion report to our Hollywood Diversity Report series back in September, where we spell out 5 best practices for dealing with this issue. And it's going to take commitment on the part of the industry, but we argue it's worth it because the current strategy is just not viable. This cannot be sustained if the industry is going to, you know, be productive. I mean, just in terms of pure dollars and cents, billions of dollars are being left on the table, and more will be left on the table if the industry can't get its act together in terms of including women and people of color in the decision-making process.
Now, the latest report, A Tale of Two Hollywoods, also addresses the issue of industry accolades. And we're talking, of course, about all of the award ceremonies. This is awards season, the Academy Awards, the Golden Globes, the SAG-AFTRA Awards. Often the decision makers there of who deserves to get an award also skew disproportionately toward white men or older folks. First, how important is this aspect of the industry? Why do you focus on it? And second, has there been any change in who gets that coveted recognition?
So let me take the first part of your question first. So the reason we focus on this, and we've been looking at this since 2014 in our first report, is that, think about it. I mean, the Academy Awards and the celebration each year that surrounds the Academy Awards is an opportunity for the industry to kind of recognize and acknowledge, affirm the highest standards of what they believe constitutes artistic merit. And studios and networks and production companies want to be associated with projects that earn the esteem of the respective academies. And, you know, those types of projects usually get green-lighted if it's anticipated that they have a shot at winning those awards. Those types of projects make more money than the typical film because often they get re-released right before award season so that people can watch them and hopefully support.
Right, it surges all of the either ticket sales or even then all of the online streaming, et cetera.
Exactly, and so, but the more important part of that is that the process sets standards. It kind of, affirms what type of film is considered of the highest quality. And obviously, individual actors want to be associated with films that win Oscars. They want to earn an Oscar themselves because that can propel a career. So if people of color and women are being excluded from even films that are being nominated, such
right.
as
right, forget about the actual winners, but even the nominations.
Yeah, this year, 19 of the 20 major acting nominations went to white actors. I mean, so it's not quite, well, it is Oscar so white. It's not as bad as it was a few years ago, but it's pretty bad. And that kind of sets the tone for, you know, in the future, what types of films that the industry really wants to get behind in terms of its marketing machine, in terms of assigning large budgets to the films, as opposed to films that may feature talent of color, but with, you know, marginal budgets. So all of that becomes critical. And in that sense, the Academy Awards themselves kind of sets the standard. So, that's an important part of the process. And we can't understate how important that is, which is why, of course, the whole Oscar So White movement started. On the one hand, it's about excluding talent of color from recognition, but it's also about something much more. It's about what the industry itself is going to make in the future because of the standards that have been set. And so what the Academy has tried to do to respond to the Oscar So White movement is to diversify its membership. When the movement started back in, I believe it was 2016, that April Rain started the movement, the Academy had about 6,000 members. It was overwhelmingly white, overwhelmingly male, and over 60. That's not exactly the voting population that's likely to recognize or to appreciate the quality of products that are, or projects that are, you know, started by people of color and women. And so they've tried to introduce new cohorts each year since then, larger than normal and with a higher share of women and minorities, in hopes of, at least the announcement was back in 2016, to double the share of those two groups by 2020. And they've fallen a little short. They're moving in the right direction, but they still have a long way to go, which is why you see nominations like we saw this year.
Well, finally, how much do you attribute the progress that has been made to outside pressure, not just from reports like yours, but the, you know, hashtag Oscar So White movement, and also people in the industry who are women and people of color. I mean, folks like Ava DuVernay and Ryan Coogler and Jordan Peele have really made it, you know, they haven't kept quiet about their criticism of the industry that they're in and their excellent movie making skills, but also their outspokenness about how the industry has shut out people like them, I imagine has played some role in the decision making.
It takes a village. There is no silver bullet. And we talk about this in our MEAN study, the report I alluded to earlier that talks about best practices. It's a multi-frontal struggle. And it requires people on the inside and people on the outside, and people like us at UCLA doing this report, arming people with the statistics, objective data, so that we can track whether or not we're actually making progress. Because of course the industry wants to say it's making progress, and they would, you know, present a case that, you know, shades things in their favor, but we need objective numbers so that we can actually know, you know, by comparing apples to apples, whether there has been progressive change over time. So my answer is yes. Certainly the Oscar So White movement has put pressure on the Academy to diversify its membership. Individual A-lister talent and directors like Ava DuVernay, Ryan Coogler, and others who've taken a stand and have, you know, demanded inclusion writers or have demanded that their cast and crew look like America. Individuals within different organizations who are committed to this, who are struggling within their organization to transform it. All of these things are important, and we have to work together. Again, there is no silver bullet. It's not like we can just pursue one strategy and think that tomorrow or the next year things are going to be different.
And just finally, to emphasize this, I mean, we're covering a report about diversity in Hollywood, or lack thereof, at a time when there's so much other stuff in the news. But I always come back to the fact that although we're a Southern California-based show, this issue is important because stories and storytelling in America is how we humanize one another. And cultural change happens in many ways. And one main way in which it happens is through what people see and who people see and the stories people see on the screen, right? If we care about immigrant rights, how immigrants and their stories are humanized becomes critical. If we care about African Americans and their rights and the criminal justice system and racism and police brutality, those portrayals are critically important in our pop culture, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, all media content has political implications, regardless of what the intentions may be. The NAACP, one of the first campaigns they had when it was founded in 1909 was its campaign against Birth of a Nation, a film that was intentionally created to kind of support white supremacy. Again, it was fiction. It was quote unquote entertainment, but entertainment is not just entertainment. It impacts the way we see the world, the way we evaluate other people and humanize them or dehumanize them. So absolutely, who controls those images and the images that are circulated have everything to do with democracy.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Darnell, for joining us today. Where can people get a hold of the report if they want to look through it themselves?
The report's everywhere. So it's available online free. You can just Google UCLA Hollywood Diversity Report, my name, Darnell Hunt, or my co-author, Dr. Ana Cristina Ramon.
And we'll link to it from our website directly as well if people want to get it and download it themselves.
Right. You can also go to the UCLA main page. It's featured there. So it's pretty much everywhere. You can download it.
Well, thank you so much, Darnell. Thanks, as always, for the work you do. And I hope in the future we'll be talking about better news on the diversity front in Hollywood.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you.
My guest has been Dr. Darnell Hunt, Dean of the Division of Social Sciences at UCLA. He's the author with Dr. Ana Cristina Ramon of the 2020 Hollywood Diversity Report that we've just been discussing. It's called A Tale of Two Hollywoods. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.